B'siyata d'shmai, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Ayin Aleph. We're going to start three lines from the bottom of Daf Ayin Omud Beis. Says the Gemara, Kideish Yodov V'Raglov, and here the Gemara is taking us back to the Mishnah that we saw on Daf Ayin Omud Aleph. And on Daf Ayin Omud Aleph, we saw in the Mishnah there the final leg of the journey, so to speak, of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, that he's finished with the set of clothes number two. Well, remember, it was gold clothes, white clothes, gold clothes, white clothes, gold clothes. Set number one was the gold clothes where he did the Korban Tomer Shachar. Set number two was the white clothes with which he did the Avoida with the Sawyer and the Par in the Kodesh HaKadoshim that we've learned about. And then we had in this Mishnah, which the place we're up to is set number three, wearing the gold clothes, and we saw that what he would do with the gold clothes is Eloi, his ram, Eloam. He would be Maktir the Imurim of the Parva Soyer Hanisrofim outside Yerushalayim are going to go onto the Mizbeach, to the insides will go into the Mizbeach during this third set of clothes. Then there was the fourth set of clothes when he was going to go back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and remove the shovel and the spoon. And then the fifth set of clothes, the gold set, where he would do the Korban Tomer Shel Bein Arba'im, that's Rashi's opinion. And where the Musafim were done, we learned in the previous Sugya, where the other Musafim were, how they were distributed. So we have to really go back to, and we've learned this a little bit previously on Daf Lamed Beis, we learned this more. There's a Parasha Sacharimois, Perek Tezayin in Sefer Vayikra, is the Parasha of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Let's try and see, how is that Parasha sorted out? There's a sequence, there's an order in the Parasha. From Pasuk Dalet till Pasuk Chof Aleph outlines everything that was done with the blood of the goat and the bull and the Soil Azazel, and all that was done between Psukim Dalet and Pasuk Chof Aleph, and they were done in the white clothes, as it says explicitly in the Psukim there, and that was set number two. Pasuk Chof Beis was, the Pasuk says that they would send away the Soyer La'azazel, they would send it to the mountain to be thrown off the cliff. That was in Pasuk Chof Beis, and that was, we assume, that was to have been done with the white clothes. There's going to be one suggestion in the Gemara, possibly, that this was not done here, and what the Pasuk actually means is that V'shilech HaSoyer Bamidbar, later on, in the gold clothes, it's going to be sent to the Azazel, but we know that the Maskana, the conclusion is that Pasuk Chof Beis is in right order. It was done in the white clothes after all the avoidance of the dam, of the blood, of the Soyer and the Par, of the Chatos HaPnimim, where the blood was sprinkled inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, inside the Heichal. And as we've learned, then immediately after that, the Soyer of the Azazel could be sent to the Azazel. Pasuk Chof Gimel speaks about removing the, going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and removing the shovel and the spoon. If we were to learn the Psukim at face value, we would still be in set number two. After that, it says explicitly in the Psukim that he would switch clothes. And in Pasuk Chof Dalet, with wearing the gold clothes, he would do Eloi his ram ve'el ha'om, and the ram of the tzibur, that he would be makriv those, he would shecht those. And those were done in the gold clothes. And if we would learn the Psukim in the way they're written, in the order they're written, this would be gold clothes, set number three. And then beyond, after that, Pasuk Chof Hei would be the Haktoras Imurim, putting the insides of the Parva Soyer and Israfim onto the Mizbeach in the Azara. And then the Pasuk and Pasuk Chof Vav mentions a detail about the person who took the Azazel, took the goat to the Azazel, that his clothes would become Tomei. Pasuk Chof Zayin speaks about the burning of the Parva Soyer, which was, the blood was sprinkled inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Heichal, the bull itself and the goat was then burnt outside Yerushalayim. And if the order is right, it was done with the gold clothes in set number three. And then Pasuk Chof Ches is a detail about that the person, those who are involved with burning the parah v'soir, their clothes would be tamei. So if we learn the parasha in order, we only have three sets of clothes. We have the original gold set, we have the white set, and then the gold set. And that's it. That's if we were to read the psukim in order. However, we have an issue with that, because we know that there's got to be five sets of clothes, because we have a tradition that there were five tvilois and ten kiddushim, kiddush yadayim raglaim, so there must have been five sets of clothes. So we're going to assume, the Gemara is going to take it for granted, we'll soon see the sources for that, that in between Pasuk Chof Beis and Pasuk Chof Gimel, Chof Beis marking the end of the Avodah of the white clothes, and Pasuk Chof Gimel's talking about the white clothes when he would remove the shovel and the spoon from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we assume that in between that, there was another switch. There was a switch from white clothes to gold clothes, and we'll have to see what actually was done there, but that was the set three of clothes was then Pasuk Chof Beis, Pasuk Chof Daled and Chof Hei, which is the Eloi ve'el ha'om and the Haktorah Simurim, and only after that would be the set four, which is now the Hoitzas, which is the Pasuk Chof Gimel, which is going back in to remove the spoon and the shovel of the coals. And then after that, they would again move into gold clothes and do the final Avoida, the Korban Tomid Shel Bein Arbaim, etc. That's going to be the conclusion of the Gemara, which means that the Pasuk Chof Gimel is out of order. Pasuk Chof Gimel, which is white clothes, is written immediately after Pasuk Chof Beis, which is also the white clothes, sending away the soil to the Azazel. But we're going to see that it's true that they're both in white clothes, but not in the same set. In between the two, there was a set of gold clothes. Let's try and work through the Gemara. Says the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon, two lines from the bottom of the Daf Ayin Amud Beis. The Pasuk says, Uvar Aaron el oil moed, and this is the Pasuk Chav Gimel, which is speaking about that Aaron HaKohen came into the oil moed, and I told you just a few minutes ago that what he did then, Pasuk Chav Gimel is telling us that he went into the Heichel and into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to remove the spoon and the shovel. It doesn't actually say it explicitly in the Pasuk, but the Gemara says, Lama hu ba, why did he go in? It says the Gemara, Lahoitzi es hakafas hamachto, to remove the spoon and the shovel of coals. Why? Shekola parasha kula. The whole parasha, Nemra ala seida, was written in order, chutz mi Pasuk ze, besides for this Pasuk Chav Gimel, which even though it's talking about the white clothes, removing the machta and the kaf, the spoon and the shovel, nonetheless, it doesn't belong in this order because the Pasuk Chof Beis is still clearly in the second set of clothes. They were white clothes. Pasuk Chof Gimel could not possibly have been in the second set of clothes because then following the sequence of the psukim, after Pasuk Chof Gimel, he would change into gold clothes and do all the rest of the avoida. There would only be three sets of clothes. Says the Gemara, my Tama. And the reason, the source that we know that Pasuk Zeh, this Pasuk Chof Gimel, is not in order is Omer of Chizda Gemiri, because we have a tradition, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, that Chomesh Tfilo is five times the Kohen Gadol would Toivel in the Mikvah, V'asara Kiddushin, and 10 times he would do Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim, Toivel Kohen Gadol Mekadish, Boi Bayoim on Yom Kippur, which means that he had 5 changes of clothing. V'omrus Kesidron, if you say that the whole parasha, including Pasuk Chof Gimel, that means all the psukim is in the right order, lo mishkachas lo elo sholish tvilois v'shisho kiddushin. He only changed his clothes 3 times. Gold clothes, white clothes, gold clothes. And for each time he changed his clothes, there was 1 tvila and 2 times kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. So you only have 3 tvilois and 6 kiddushin. And we know that there's 5 and 10. So there must be that it's out of order. That means we take it for granted that between Pasuk Chof Beis and Pasuk Chof Gimel, there was a set of gold clothes. That's a given now. The question is, what actually was done in that stage between Pasuk Chof Beis and Chof Gimel, what was actually done there? So we know what was done there was actually Pasuk Chof Daled, Pasuk Chof Hei, which is that his ram and the ram of the people, and the Haktorah Seimurim was done then. And after that, the fourth set was that Pasuk Chof Gimel, where he went in to take out the Kafa Machta. And then afterwards, there was the fifth set, which he would finish the Avodah of the day with. Says the Gemara, Maskif Lo Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira questioned, V'dilma, maybe I agree with you, that we have to make something happen, gold clothes, between Pasuk Chof Beis and Pasuk Chof Gimel. But what makes you think that it's all out of order, and the Eloi ve'el ha'om, Pasuk Chof Dalet, and Haktara Simurim in Pasuk Chof Hei was done before Pasuk Chof Gimel? Maybe not. Maybe all the other psukim, Chof Dalet till the end, were in order. And they were all done after he removed the spoon and the shovel. You want to know what was done with those gold clothes in between the sending of the Azazel and removing the spoon and the shovel? Something else, something that's not mentioned in this parasha. V'dilma mafsik le'besoyer anase b'chutz. We know that in one of the Musafin, there was a goat that was done, the blood was sprinkled not inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim and Heichal, rather on the main Mizbeach, which was outside, which was in the Azara. Maybe that soyer was done in between the sending of the Azazel, which is Pasuk Chof Beis, and the removing of the spoon and the spade in Pasuk Chof Gimel, and that was done with gold clothes. And then you've got your five changes, you've got your five Tvilois and ten Kiddushin, and we don't need to change the order of everything else after that. That was Obzeru's question. Omar Abaya. Abaya said, no. Omar Kro, v'yotza v'oso es oilosoi. If you look well at Pasuk Chof Dalet, it says that he came out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim and from the Heichal. He would come out and then he would do his Ail and the Ail Ha'om. And we assume, says Abaya, that when it says V'yotzo, Mi'atzio Rishoyna Ovid, Eloi V'Eil Ha'om, that when did he do Pasuk Chof Dalet? When did he do his ram and the ram of the people? That was after having been in the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim once, after having worn one set of white clothes, that's when he did Eloi ve'el ha'om. But if you say that Pasuk Chof Beis is the end of the first set of white clothes, Pasuk Chof Gimel is the start and end of the second set of white clothes, and there was a set of gold clothes in between to do something else, the Soyer Anasis Bachutz, then Pasuk Chof Dalet is going to be clothes set number five. If we're going to do that, and then everything would be in order then, but set number five means you've been in white clothes twice. No. When it says V'yotzo, it seems it was the first time, which must mean that Pasuk Chof Dalet was done with set number three. How could Pasuk Chof Dalet be set number three if Pasuk Chof Gimel must be set number four? Because we said that Pasuk Chof Gimel, when he went in to remove the spoon and the shovel, that was the second set of white clothes, the fourth changing of clothes. It must be that Pasuk Chof Dalet was before Pasuk Chof Gimel. So that was one. That was Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said that the way that we know that this Pasuk Chof Gimel is not in order, and Pasuk Chof Dalet is before it, is because there must have been five tefillos, five sets of clothing. There must be a set of gold clothing between Pasuk Chof Beis and Pasuk Chof Gimel, and then we said that Pasuk Chof Dalet must have been the first time he finished with the white clothes. It must have been that it was Chof Dalet, Pasuk Chof Dalet, that was before Pasuk Chof Gimel. Rav says a different explanation. He says, Omar Kro, if you actually look in Pasuk Chof Gimel itself, where Pasuk Chof Gimel speaks about when he went in to remove the spoon and the shovel, what does it say there? Omar Kro, it says in the Pasuk that Uposhat es bigde abod ashelovash, that he removed, that means after he went in to take out the spoon and the shovel, then he removed his white clothes. Uposhat es bigde abod, she'ein talmud leim ashelovash. Why does the pasuk have to say uposhat es bigde abod ashelovash? He removed the white clothes that he was wearing. Of course, he was wearing it. She'ein talmud leim ashelovash. It doesn't need to say that he was wearing klum odom poishet. Does a person remove clothes elom ashelovash? If he's not wearing them, if he's removed them, he must have been wearing them. Elomar talmud leim ashelovash. So why does it say ashelovash? Answers the Gemara, Shelovash Kvar, that in Pasuk Chof Gimel, when it says that he put on he removed the white clothes, we see from there, Shelovash, that this was the second time that he had worn the white clothes. So beforehand, Rav Chisda said, how do I know that there was a gold clothes between Pasuk Chav Beis and Pasuk Chav Gimel? Because of the tradition. The tradition that there's five changes of clothes. And Rava says, I don't need that tradition. Rava says, even without the tradition, I look in the Psukim, Pasuk Chav Gimel says, I removed the white clothes for the second time. What do you mean for the second time? Till Pasuk Chav Beis, he was wearing the white clothes for the first time. Pasuk Chav Gimel, he's now removing the white clothes for the second time? It must be that between Pasuk Chav Beis and Chav Gimel, there were gold clothes. Maskif lo Rabba bar Rav Shila. The similar question to before. Okay, granted. So we know that between Pasuk Chav Beis and Pasuk Chav Gimel, there must have been some gold clothes. Whether you learn it from the fact that in Pasuk Chav Dalet, must have been the, whether we learn it, sorry, from what Rav Chisda said, that there's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that there's five changes, whether it's from what Rava said, that Pasuk Chav Gimel was the second time he removed the clothes, it doesn't matter. Either way, we know between Pasuk Chav Beis and Pasuk Chav Gimel, there were gold clothes. But how do you know it's all out of order? Maybe Pasuk Chav Dalet and etc. was done after Pasuk Chav Gimel and not before Pasuk Chav Gimel, like we asked before. Answers the Gemara, as we said before. In Pasuk Chav Dalet, it says explicitly that when did he do his ram, and the ram of the people was only after he came out for the first time from having worn the white clothes. So it must be that the Pasuk Chav Dalet is actually before Chav Gimel, and not only was there a step between Chav Beis and Chav Gimel with gold clothes, but it's actually the psukim that are mentioned that are out of order, and it's Pasuk Chav Dalet that was done before Pasuk Chav Gimel. Says the Gemara, V'chol ha-parasha kulo nemra la-seida. We said before that the whole parasha, besides for this one switch between Pasuk Chav Gimel and Pasuk Chav Dalet, everything else is in order. Is that true? Asks the Gemara. V'akroi ksivim. Let's look at the rest of the psukim. It says, what was Pasuk Chof Hei? Pasuk Chof Hei, the Pasuk says, V'eschelev hachatos yaktir ha-mizbecha. Pasuk Chof Hei, as we said before, is haktoras ha-imurim. That was written immediately after Eloi ve'el ha'am. V'hodar, and what does it say after that? The psukim after that, Pasuk Chof Zayin, because we said Pasuk Chavov is just an added detail about the status of the clothes of the person who took the goat to the Azazel. But after Chof Hei, let's jump to Chof Zayin. Chof Zayin, it says that they would burn the par of a soyer. The par of a soyer whose blood was sprinkled inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim and Heichal, the bodies of this par of a soyer were burnt outside Yerushalayim. That's in Pasuk Chof Zayin. Was par achatos, vesir achatos, was burnt outside Yerushalayim. And so according to the sequence in the Pasuk, what was done first? First the Haktoras Imurim, and then the Sreifas Parvasoir. Well, according to the Mishnayos, which the Mishnayos tell us what the conclusion is in actual fact in Halacha, we learned in the Mishnah, that first Haroya Es Kohen Godel Kshukira Eine Roya Parvasoir Anisrofim, that when did he do the when did he burn the Parvasoir, the same time that the Kohen Gadol was reading from the Sefer Torah, as we saw in the Mishnah before. And when was that? That was at the end of the second set of clothes, the first set of white clothes. And then, Ve'ilu Emurei Chatos, when did he burn the Emurim? We saw in the Sugya before, that was Basar Hachi Maktilu, he would burn the Emurim only later, actually when he was wearing set number 3, the gold clothes. So you see that the Mishnah says that Sreifas Parvasoir was actually before the Haktoras Emurim, even though Haktoras Emurim is Pasuk Chof Hei and Sreifas Parvasoir is Pasuk Chof Zayin. So you see that that's also out of order. So why do you say that everything's in order besides for this Pasuk Chof Gimel Chof Dalet? No, Chof Hei Chof Zayin is also out of order. Answers the Gemara, Eima Chutz Mi Pasuk Zev Eilech. What it means is, from that Pasuk Chof Gimel, when it speaks about going in to remove the spoon and the shovel, from there all the psukim are not necessarily in order. Asks the Gemara, Umay Chozis De Meshabeshes Kroi. Why do you have to say that the psukim are out of order and say that Pasuk Chof Zayin was before Pasuk Chof Hei? First was Sreifas Parvasoir and only afterwards Emurim. Why maybe Shabish Masnita? Maybe, why don't you say that the Sreifas Parva Soir is not like it says in the Mishnah? Why don't we assume that the order it says in the Chumash is actually the correct order? And the Mishnah, something's got confused there. Maybe the Sreifas Apar, which is Pasuk Chav Zayin, was indeed with the gold clothes, set number 3, and then it could be after the Akhtar Asimurim. Omar Abaya says no. Abaya says as follows. Omar Kro, we have a Pasuk Chavov and a Pasuk Chav Ches. Pasuk Chavov is a detail about the person that sent the soil Azazel. And where did we see that he actually went to take the soil Azazel? In Pasuk Chav Beis. It's the last thing that was done with the first set of white clothes, clothes number 2. And then in Pasuk Chavov, it says that person, his clothes are Tommy. And then we had in Pasuk Chav Zayin, the stage of burning the Parva Soir, and in Pasuk Chof Ches, a detail that those that burnt the Parva Soir, their clothes were Tommy. And the term used in Pasuk Chavov and the term used in Pasuk Chof Ches is very similar. It says, Omakro, V'ham Shaleach, in Pasuk Chavov, and in Pasuk Chof Ches it says, V'hasoirif, is similar terms. And so obviously we assume there's something in common. Ma'am Shaleach, in the same way. And we're now going to deduce from within the psukim themselves that the sequence is that the burning of the parva soil was done before the Akhtar Asimurim. And Pasuk Chav Zayin and Chav Hei was out of order. Why would we say that? Because in the same way as v'hamshaleach, ma'amshaleach, in the same way as the Pasuk Chavov, which is telling us a detail, a halacha about the person who burnt, who took the goat to the Azazel, the Meikora. We know that it's a Pasuk Chavov is written after Pasuk Chav Hei. It's written after Akhtar Asimurim. But when did it actually happen? It's referring to something that happened in Pasuk Chav Beis, which is when he actually took, when he was sent the goat to the Azazel. So in the same way as Pasuk Chavov, written after the Akhtar Asimurim in Chav Hei, is referring to something that happened to before Akhtar Asimurim, namely Pasuk Chav Beis, Af HaSeirif, so to the whole sugya, the whole Pasuk Chav Ches about the burning is a detail about the person who was burning the Parva Soir. The Meikora is referring to a burning that was done before Akhtar Asimurim. Even though the burning itself is in Pasuk Chav Zayin, which is after Akhtar Asimurim, but obviously that it was done, if we compare the Hasirif to the Meshaleach, then the same way as the Meshaleach is the detail about his clothes is written after Akhtar Asimurim, but it actually was done before, so to Asirif, even though Sreifas Parva Soir is written after the Akhtar Asimurim, it was actually done before the Akhtar Asimurim. Says the Gemara, so is that how you're learning? So it's fine to compare Meshaleach and Asirif, but why are you using it to learn that the Sreifas Parva Soir of Pasuk Chav Zayin was done before the Akhtar Asimurim of Pasuk Chav Hei? Adarab, on the contrary, why don't you say that Ma Sreif, let's assume that the Sreifas Parva Soir is done after Akhtar Asimurim, and then when it says Va Sreif, it's actually Pasuk Chav Ches following Pasuk Chav Zayin is in the right order in the Psukim after Pasuk Chav Hei. Chav Hei is Akhtar Asimurim, after that they would burn the Parva Soir, and then we would know that the person who's burning it, his clothes are Tommy. So Ma Seirif Dehashta is written here after Akhtar Asimurim to impress on us that it actually happened after Akhtar Asimurim. Af Meshaleach, learn from there that when it says in the Pasuk Va Meshaleach, that when the person who sent the goat to the Azazel, his clothes are Tommy, is referring to Dehashta, that the sending of the go to the Azazel, which was actually Pasuk Chav Beis. Until now, we took it for granted that was actually sent before even the third set, at the end of the second set of clothes. Maybe no. Maybe compare it to the Hasirif, and maybe Pasuk Chav Beis, when it speaks about sending it, it doesn't mean you send the Soir then. It means that later on you'll send the Soir. When? After Akhtar Asimurim. And if so, then Abaya was trying to explain why it seems from the psukim themselves that we have to assume that the psukim are all in the wrong order and not the Mishnayos. On the contrary, maybe all the psukim are in the right order. And even though Pasuk of Beis is written before, it doesn't mean it's out of order. It just means it's telling us what's going to happen later. And then we don't need to mix up. We don't need to say that the Haktoras Emurim and the Sreifas Paravasoyer, Pasuk of Hein Chav Zayin, are in the wrong order. On the contrary, maybe they're in the right order. So why did you say that the Mishnayos are in the right order and the Psukim are in the wrong order? Maybe the Psukim are in the right order and the Mishnayos or something is not accurate there. Answers the Gemara, V'hamashaleach d'me'ikora mashma. In grammar, grammatically speaking, the word V'hamashaleach seems to mean that it's referring to something that happened way earlier. So in Pasuk Chavov, it says, V'hamashaleach, don't say, which is what we try to say now in the Adarabba, we try to say that Pasuk Chav Beis, where it teaches us about the actual sending of the goat to the Azazel, happened together with Pasuk Chavov after the Akhtara Seymurim, in the gold clothes, not in those original white clothes. No. V'hamashaleach seems to mean something that happened way earlier. So if Pasuk Chavov is talking about something that happened much earlier, so it must be, when was the goat actually sent? It was sent long before the Haktoras Emurim. It was sent in Pasuk Chav Beis, where it's written at the end of the first set of the white clothes. And once we see that V'hamashaleach is talking about something that happened previously, we again assume that V'hasoreif is talking about something that happened previously. So we know that even though in Pasuk Chav Zayin it says the Sheifas Paravasoyer, what actually means is that it was done before Pasuk Chav Hei, before the Haktoras Emurim. And that was what the proof of what we said before, that we have no choice other than to say that the psukim are out of order and the sequence in the Mishnayos is accurate. Rav Omar, Rav is going to give another explanation how we know that the shlichas ha-soyer, sending the soyer to the Azazel of Pasuk Chav Beis, happened in Pasuk Chav Beis, and not like we suggested that it happened after the Haktoras Emurim with the next set of clothes, Rav Omar, because Omar Kroy says in the Pasuk, Yo'omad Chai, that the soil Lazazel has to stand alive, waiting. Till when? Ad Mosai, Yezokuk Lamuid Chai. So we learned this, we've seen this already previously in the Gemara, that Ad Shas Kapora, that it needs to, the soil Lazazel has to be kept alive and wait there, till the time where the atonement, which it's waiting for, is being done. V'emosai, what needs to be done for the Azazel to be able to do what it has to do? V'emosai shas kapara b'shas matan domim. As soon as the blood of the bull and the other goat has been done, at that point the kapara has been achieved, and the soil l'Azazel is no longer has to be Yo'omat Chai. V'suloi, it doesn't need to be there any longer than when we finish doing the avoid of the blood inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Heichal. Where was that? That was Pasuk Chof Aleph is where we finished doing that. And since we know from Psukim that the Soyer Lazazel only has to stay alive in that position till then, we take for granted that Pasuk Chof Beis is done immediately after that. Immediately when you're finished with the blood of the Paravasoyer, you can send the Azazel away to the Azazel, that Soyer, so that you see another source that Pasuk Chav Beis must be where it belongs, in which case the Shlichas HaSoyer Lazazel is in Pasuk Chav Beis before the Haktoras Emurim, and the Pasuk Chav Vav that speaks about V'Hamashaleach is after, and we learn from there, so too V'Hasoyerif, that the Sreifa itself of the Paravasoyer is done before the Haktoras Emurim, and it's done while still in the first set of the white clothes. Continues the Gemara. Osi Meshaleach, we've learned previously that the person who was actually the messenger to take the Soyer Lazazel to the cliff, he would not come back to Yerushalayim, the distance of 10 or 12 mil to Yerushalayim. He wasn't allowed to do that, it's outside the Tchum. He would come just back to the first Sukkah, or the first one closest to the Tzuk, the last one furthest from Yerushalayim, and he would wait there till the end of Yom Kippur. Osi Meshaleach, the next day, or even in the night, Motzi Yom Kippur, when this person, the Meshaleach, would come, Motzi, if he would find and meet the Kohen Gadol, b'shuk in the marketplace where other people were present, l'kohen gadol, then omer loy, he would respectfully tell him, ishi kohen gadol, my master, the kohen gadol, osinu shlichuscha, I did that, I was a loyal agent to do what you asked me to do, to take the goat to the cliff of the Azazel. Motzi b'beisoy, if however he met the kohen gadol in his own home and he was not surrounded by the public, then omer loy, then he would give the honor rather than to the kohen gadol by saying, I did your shlichus, he would attribute the shlichus to Hashem. He would say, Mechaye Chaim. He would, so to speak, refer to Hashem and say, Hashem who gives life. Osinu shlichusai, we did his. He would tell the Kohen Gadol that we did the shlichus of, on behalf of Hashem. That means what Hashem, the mitzvah Hashem gave us to do, to take the goat to the Azazel, we did it. Continues the Gemara, that in the same way as we see here, that one was referring to Hashem as the Mechaye Chaim, the one who gives life to the living. So in that context, Omar Rabba, Kimifter Rabbonon Me'adodi B'Pumpadisa, when the Chachomim would depart from each other, would part ways with each other from Pumpadisa, Omri, they would say to each other, Hochi, as follows, Mechaye Chaim, the one who gives life to the living, Yitein Nechachaim, Arukim should give you long life, and v'toivim, and good life, and musukonim, and fixed, and perfect, you should have all your needs met. Continues the Gemara, in similar context, it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, es haleich lifnei Hashem, I will go before Hashem, be'artzois ha'chaim, in the land of the living. Omer of Yehuda, what does that mean? Ze mokim shvokim, David HaMelech was davening that he should find marketplaces where he could buy the sustenance and buy what he needs to survive, because David HaMelech was on the go a lot, he was being chased by enemies a lot, and not always was food and other vital commodities available to him. So he would daven to Hashem and say, Hashem, send, let me find places which are called Aretz HaChaim, places where I can buy and purchase and attain what I need to survive. Continues the Gemara, another Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Mishli, Ke'orech Yomim, the long days, ushnois chaim, and living years, v'sholim, and peace, yesifu lecha, should be added to you. So the Gemara is asking, now what does it mean, shnois chaim? V'chi yesh shonim shel chaim, v'yesh shonim she'enam chaim? He's saying, what's this bracha that he's saying, that this person will have life of, years of life? Are there years of death and years of life? Omer Blaza, Blaza says yes. That it is possible that sometimes a person is living life and he feels like dead. He doesn't feel like he's living, and suddenly his life becomes livable, manageable. And at that point, that is what it says, that he should be given shnois chaim, that the years that you have should feel like they are live. Continues the Gemara. The Pasuk says, again in Mishli, Aleichem Ishim Ekro, V'koili El Bnei Adam. What does that mean? Aleichem Ishim Ekro. To you, Ishim Ekro, I will call. Omer of Barachia, Elu Talmidei Chachomim. This is referring to the Talmidei Chachomim that are called Ishim. And it doesn't say in the Pasuk, as it often does, other terms for man, like Anoshim. It says Ishim. Ishim sounds more like Isha, like women. The Talmid HaChachomim, says Rav Barachia, are Shadoimim Lenoshim. They're very humble, more like the traits of a woman, that she's subservient to her husband, she's in the home, she's dependent on her husband. So to Talmid HaChachomim, they don't run around all over the place, they're in the Beis HaMedrash, they're dependent on other people to sustain them, they are humble. V'oisin Gvura Kanoshim, however, they display strength like men, they have the strength in doing what they have to do as Talmidei Chachomim. Continues the Gemara, also from Rav Barachia, Omer Rav Barachia, Im roya odom sh'toira poisekes mizari, if a person sees that his children are being lax with Toira, yiso bas Talmud Chochem, he should marry the daughter of a Talmud Chochem. And others say that even if he has a wife, obviously this wouldn't apply today, but even if he has a wife, he must have been married sometime if he's got children. He should marry another wife, a bas Talmud Chochem. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, a Pasuk in Iyov, Im yazkin ba'oretz shorshoi, if the roots are getting aged and old in the earth, uba'ofar yomus gizoi, and the trunk is dying in the dirt, then mireach mayim, from the scent, from the smell of the water, yafriach, it will blossom, V'osa kotzir k'moynota, and it will generate branches like a sapling. And this reach mayim yifrach, that the scent, the smell of the water that will make it blossom, is referring to the Bnei Torah marrying the daughter of a Talmud Chacham will bring that Torah into the home and cause the other children to blossom. Continues the Gemara, and this takes us back to the Mishnah, that v'yom tov ha'yosol oyavov, when the Kohen Gadol came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim b'sholim, he would make a yom tov, possibly a feast, for his friends. Tanu Rabbanon, we learnt in a brisa, ma'ase b'Kohen Gadol echod, there was this incident with one Kohen Gadol, she'yotza mi'beis ha'migdosh, he came out of the Beis HaMikdash, v'ava'oz l'kule alma basri, and everybody was following him, giving him tremendous honor, following him on his way home. Kiven d'chazyunhu l'shamay v'avtalyun, when they saw, the people saw that Shemaya v'Avtalion, they happened to be descendants, they were Gerim, they were called Gerim, they were descendants of Sancheriv, and they were G'dayli Adair. And when the people saw Shemaya v'Avtalion, they took leave, Shavku l'didei, they abandoned the Kohen Gadol and went to walk with Shemaya v'Avtalion. V'oz libosa, Shemaya v'Avtalion, they went after them. L'soif osa Shemaya v'Avtalion, afterwards Shemaya v'Avtalion came to the Kohen Gadol respectfully, lifturi minei the Kohen Gadol, to take leave from the Kohen Gadol. Omar Lohen, and the Kohen Gadol said to Shemaya v'Avtalion, Yaisun b'nei amamin l'shlom, that you should come in peace. Who are you? B'nei amamin, the descendants of the nations. That, which was a very not nice way of referring to Shemaya v'Avtalion, stressing the fact that they were descendants of Goyim. Omrulei, so Shemaya v'Avtalion said to the Kohen Gadol, Yaisun b'nei amamin l'shlom, indeed, the descendants of the nations, we should come in peace. The Ovdin Uvda de Aaron, because we are following the ways of Aaron HaKohen, we are running after peace and trying not to hurt people. V'le'yaisa bar Aaron l'shlom, but you Kohen Gadol, the descendant of Aaron, should not come in peace. De'le'ovid Uvda de Aaron, because the way you were speaking to us and you hurt us, and the Rashi brings from a Gemara Bob Metzia, he transgressed Oinoas Dvorim, you're not allowed to remind the Geir, or even descendants of Geirim, that they come from Goyim. And that's what he did. That was clearly not following the path of Aaron HaKohen. And that's how Shemaya v'Avtalion told his Kohen Gadol, you don't deserve to come in peace. Continues the next Mishnah. And we've now finished the Yom Kippur Avodah with all the details, B'Siyata Dishmaya. Now in this Mishnah, we're going to learn a little bit about the Big Day Kohuna. Kohen Gadol, whenever the Kohen Gadol would do his Avodah, he would be Mashamish, B'Shmoina, B'Kelim. He would wear the 8 clothes. The hedyot, but a regular kohen, a kohen hedyot, but arba would wear 4 clothes. Which 4 would the kohen hedyot wear? Ksoines, which is a tunic, umichnasaim, a trousers, umitznefes, a turban, a type of hat, the avnate, and a belt. Moisev halav kohen gadol, the kohen gadol would have another 4 clothes, which is the choshen, the ephod, umil, the tzitz. The choshen was the breastplate, the ephod was also a type of something he wore on his chest. And the me'il, he had a special robe, and the tzitz, he had a plate, a gold plate on his forehead with Hashem's name on. Be'elu, and only when the Kohen Gadol was wearing all 8 clothes, nish'olim b'urim v'tumim, was he allowed to ask from the urim v'tumim inside the choshen, inside the breastplate. The choshen itself was doubled over, and inside was the urim v'tumim. We'll learn more about that later. And they would confer with the urim v'tumim when they needed guidance. And the Kohen Gadol would only be able to do that when he was wearing all 8 clothes. Ve'enish olin, and the Urim v'Tumim was not asked elo lemelech, only by a king, for a king, ul'av beizdin, and the head of the courts, ul'misha tzibur tarichloi, and an individual who the tzibur, the people, the communities, they needed him. And there's different examples of who this might be, if the Kohen Moshiach, Lemilchoma, and other people where they were busy with the public affairs, and their questions were for the public, and therefore their questions were allowed to be posed to the Urim V'Tumim. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon. And now we're going to discuss a little bit how the Big Day Kohuna were made. Tanu Rabbanon, Dvorim Shenemar Bohen Sheish. There are some of the clothes that we mentioned here that the Pasuk mentions explicitly the term Sheish. Now, the literal translation of sheish, as with pishton, as with bad, as with boots, are different words and they all mean linen. Linen comes from a plant called flax, and that's how linen is made, and that's what sheish actually means. However, we'll soon see from where we know this, but the Braisa says that whenever it says the word sheish, whenever one of the materials used, one of the threads used are the threads of sheish, it means that the chuton kaful shisha. Because the way that these clothes were spun or they were woven was that there were a number of strands that were spun into threads, and these threads were then braided together to make a cord, to make a thicker string, and that's how they would then make the clothes. And we're now going to learn that, like the Pasuk tells us, with each clothes, how many different types of threads were used. And the Braisa is telling us that whenever the word sheish is mentioned, then the strings, the threads used in that garment, each thread was spun from six strands per thread, and all the threads of that particular garment were then braided into a cord, and that's how the garment was made. So it says, whenever it says sheish chuton kofel shisha, the threads were spun with six strands of that material. Moshzor, when it says moshzor, for example, regarding the pomegranates hanging at the end of the me'il, where it says there moshzor, in that case, shmoina, each of the threads used were made of eight strands. Me'il, we're going to learn soon in the Gemara the sources for all this, but the me'il itself was shnei moshzor. It was made with a total of, even though the me'il was made with just a single type of thread, it was the me'il techeles. However, the me'il, that thread had 12 strands, and really it was a thread of six strands that was doubled over. We'll learn about that more. Paroiches, the curtains between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was Eshim v'Arba, was made four different strands, as we'll see, as the Pasuk says, the four different types of strings that were used to make the paroiches, and each one, because it says, it doesn't actually say sheish, but we learn from elsewhere that even where it doesn't say sheish, every string, unless we know explicitly otherwise, the strings were always made of six strands each. So if you have four types of string, each made of six strands, you have 24 strands altogether. Choshen ve'ephod, the choshen and the ephod, even though there were only four types of strings there, however, each string was made of not six strands, but there was a seventh strand in it, which was actually a gold strand that was added into each of the four strings that were used for the choshen and ephod, and altogether that was eshim ashmoina, there were 28 strands in each of the cords of each of the strings used for the choshen and the ephod. Says the Gemara, chuton kofel shisha minolon. How do you know that whenever it says sheish, it says in the pasuk, by the ksoines it says sheish, it says by the michnasayim it says sheish, by the mitznefes it says sheish, by the avnit it says sheish. How do we know that, because sheish means linen, how do you know it means that every thread and all the threads of all the materials used in those garments, that they were all made of six strands each, minolon? Yeah, because we learn from the Pasuk. The Omakro, it says in the Pasuk, Vayasu es haksoines es hakosnois sheish, maise oireg le'aron levonov, veis hamitznefes sheish, veis pare hamigbois, the pare hamigbois, are the linen turbans, sheish, ve'es michnese habad, sheish moshzor, and the trousers also, they were made of bod, which is linen, and sheish, which is another term for linen, and it was moshzor, it was braided, they were all braided together. So in this pasuk, you see that it mentions the word sheish a number of times. Chamisha kroi ksivi, it says five times the word sheish here. Four times sheish and once bud, which also means linen. Chad legufei, one of them is to tell us that these garments were all made of linen. Dekisna, to tell us that dekisna nehavu, that they were made of linen. V'chad, once it, when it says the sheish, is sheyehi chuton kofel shisha, because the word sheish, besides from meaning linen, it also means the number six, to teach us that the threads have to be, each thread has to be made of six strands. V'chad, sheyehu shzurim, that all these threads should then be spun together to make a cord. V'chad l'shar begodim, sheloi nebar ben sheish, and this is very important to remember, it says an extra word sheish to impress on us that even those places, those garments where the word sheish is not mentioned, even there, each thread has to be made of six strands. The Chad La'akev, and it says in one last time that it has to be made of linen in order to tell us that everything we've just learnt now is actually essential. It's not just lekatchila, lemitzvah, it's ma'akev. Okay, so we've found the source that whenever it says sheish, it mentions sheish, it means not only linen, it means that the threads have to be made, they have to be spun from six strands each. My mashna ma dahai sheish kisnahu. Who told you that the word sheish is actually a material called linen, called kisna in the Gemara? Omer Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina de Omer Kro. It's actually learned from a posuk. The posuk says the bad. That in the same pasuk there it says that it was made michnesei abad sheish moshzor, and bad, what is the concept of bad, which is the same as sheish, it is sheish, is bad means dovah ha'oilem min habkarka, bad is a stalk. The only type of plant or material or that's used, or wool or any type of thread that comes from something that grows one stalk on its own, is only cotton. It's only linen, sorry. Linen is made from flax, and flax grows with reeds that are stalk by stalk. They grow each one on its own. Asks the Gemara of Eima Amra, maybe the bud means wool. Wool also, every strand of wool grows from its own root in the body of whichever body it's growing on. Says the Gemara, no. Amra, if tzulei miftzila, hair typically splits. We very often find hairs that they split, and then once they split, they each have their own source of nourishment. However, it's only regarding the linen, which is the flax plant, which is totally straight and doesn't get split. Asks the Gemara, kisna nami af tzulei miftzil. But we see that linen also, flax, when you bang it, it also will split. Answers the Gemara, yeah, kisna, only agav lekusei maftil. It's only when you break it, when you beat it, that it's going to split. But in and of its own, when it grows, it doesn't split, unlike wool. Ravina brings a different source that we know that sheish is linen. Mehocha from a pasuk in Yecheskel. The pasuk says in Yecheskel, pa'arei Pishtim, the linen turbans, yiyu al roshim, will be on their heads, or michnesei pishtim, yiyu al mosneim, and the trousers of pishtim will be on their loins, lo yachkaru bayoza. So there the pasuk is talking about these garments, and says explicitly pishtim. Pishtim we know is linen. And since, even though in the Torah it just says sheish, and we don't know what that means, but since in Yecheskel it tells us explicitly that it's pishtim, it's linen, so we know what it is. That's all very good after Yecheskel came along. But what was before Yecheskel? How did they know what this was? Answers the Gemara. And according to you, how are you going to understand elsewhere? And let's say we don't learn it from Yecheskel here. But how the Omer of Chizda, that Dovor Zeh, this halacha, that somebody who's not circumcised in oral is not allowed to do the avoida. If he does the avoida, it's possible. Where do we learn it from? Dovor Zeh, it doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash. Midivri Yecheskel ben Buzi lomadnu. We learned it from a pasuk in Yecheskel. What does it say in Yecheskel? Koyomar Hashem, kol ben nechor, or erel leiv, anyone who's a strange person, whose deeds are strange to Yiddishkeit, he's got an oral leiv, he's an uncircumcised heart, for erel bosor, and he hasn't had the bris milah, lo yovoy el mikdash, he should not come to do the work in the Beis HaMikdash. Ask the same question. This halacha, Yecheskel couldn't make up halachas, and how did they know this halacha before Yecheskel wrote it in Sefer Yecheskel? Elor, you have to say, Gemara Gemira Lo, they had it as a tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu who received it at Sinai. V'asi Yecheskel v'asmecha akra, and Yecheskel simply wrote it into the Sefer of Yecheskel. Hochanami, so too over here, regarding with what material this sheish was, it's true that Yecheskel explicitly wrote it, but they always knew from the Gemiri, from a tradition, that Gemara Gemiri love also Yecheskel asmecha akra, that Yecheskel just simply put it into the pasuk, but it was a knowledge they always had. Continues the Gemara, we saw in the Brice that whenever it says moshzor, that it's got to be braided, then it's shmoina. Then it means that a thread is made of 8 strands. Morzo doesn't actually mean braided, it means that it was twined together. So this morzo, when they were twined together, it means that it was twined with eight strands. Minolon, what would be the source for that? Answers the Gemara. The Chassid says in the Pasuk, Vayasu al shule ha-me'il, at the end of the me'il, of that robe the Kohen Gadol would wear, Rimoine Tcheles, there were little pomegranates that were made of a number of different wools. That was Tcheles, which is a one type of wool, Vargomon, another type of wool, Vatelas Shani, another type of wool, three different wool threads, Morzor, and it says they're Morzor. So we know there were three different types of threads, and they were moshzor. That's what it says in the pasuk. They were twined. Each thread was twined. What does that mean? V'yalif moshzor, moshzor miparoiches. By the paroiches, the curtains, it again says moshzor. The curtains were made of moshzor, of twined. It was a twined threads. Ma'al ahalon, in the same way as with the paroiches, how many threads were there, how many strands were there altogether? Eshim Arba, because we know by the Pareches there were four different types of threads. And as we said before, that even when it doesn't say Sheish, every thread that was used was spun from six strands each. So the Pareches had 24 strands altogether. And that's also called Morzor. And since the Pareches is called Morzor, it had 24 strands. Afkan, so too by the pomegranates, made of the woolen pomegranates at the bottom of the me'il, also had Esrim V'Arba, had a total of 24 strands. And how many different strings were there? Only three different strings, as we saw. To have a kol chad v'chad, t'mani, it must be that if you have three different types of strings, not like the parochas that had four different strings, but the remoinim, you only had three different strings. Nonetheless, we learn morzor, morzor from the parochas that there were a total of 24 strands. Each string must have been twined with eight strands. Asks the Gemara, v'neilef michoishen v'eifoid. Why don't you learn that in the same way as the choishen v'eifoid had 28 strands, which we're going to learn about, but they had a total of 28, even though there were only four different types of threads, each one was spun with seven strands, not with six. It was six of their own type of string, plus a gold strand was added to it. But the choishen, each rope, each piece of string that made the choishen and the ephod had 28 strands in it. So why don't you say so too? The remoinium didn't have 24 strands, only had 28 strands. And not didn't have 24, it had 28 strands. Menelef mechoishen ve'ephod mal alon esim v'shmoine, in the same way as there were 28 strands by the ephod and the choishen, afkan, so too here by the remoinim esim v'shmoine, there would be 28. And the Gemara is going to give two answers. Number one, that there's more in common between the Pareches and the Remoinim than the Choshen and Ephod and the Remoinim. Why? Because Donin Dovor Shaloi Ne'emar Bo'izov, Midovor Shaloi Ne'emar Bo'izov, the Choshen and Ephod also had gold in it. So it's a different type of cloth. The Pareches didn't have gold and the Remoinim didn't have gold. So it makes sense to compare the two. Lafuke Choshen v'Ephod, and to the exclusion of Choshen ve'Ephod, that Shenemar ben Zov, they did have gold. Says the Gemara, Adarab, on the contrary, Donin Beged mi Beged, we'd rather learn Remoinim from Choshen ve'Ephod, because they're both considered a clothing, or attached to a clothing. Lafuke Pareches, unlike the curtains, the Oyelhu, it's just like a tent, it was a covering over. Part of the Pareches also served as a tent, it folded over at the top, and it's not a garment. So would make sense to compare the Remoinim to the Choshen ve'Ephod, and then it wouldn't have 24 strands, rather 28. Elo says the Gemara, we don't learn out on Pareches, because the Pareches is not called a Beged. And we don't learn it out from the Choshen ve'Ephod, because the Choshen ve'Ephod has gold. Rather, Donin mi'Avnet, you learn it from the Avnet. The Avnet, the belt, had the belt had 24 strands in it. There were four different strings and each one had six strands in it, making 24 strands. And there's a lot in common between the Avnet and these Remoinim. V'donin Beged, v'dovah shleinem abizov. Both the Avnet and the Remoinim, they are both a Beged, called a clothing, and they both do not have gold. Mi Beged v'dovah shleinem abizov. You learn one from the other. V'ein donin, and we do not learn dovah shein bezov, the Remoinim, which do not have gold, Midovosh Yesh Bezov, from the Choshen ve'Ephod, that does have gold. So that is one explanation, one of the sources that the Rimoinim had 24 strands. And we don't learn it out from the Choshen Ve'Ephod, where there was a total of 28. Rav Meri says, I've got another source that tells us that we do not learn from the Ephod. Because it says in the Pasuk, Omar, it says over there in the Pasuk, by the Choshen and Ephod, V'asisa Choshen Mishpat Maise Choshev K'maise Ephod Ta'ase Nu. Which means only the Choshen and the Ephod are done that way, to the exclusion of anything else. Don't learn anything else from Choshen Ve'Ephod. Ta'ase Nu K'siv. Ta'asenu lezeh, that this one should be, the choshen should be similar to the ephod, v'loy le'achir, and nothing else should be learnt from there, and therefore we do not learn rimoinim from choshen ve'ephod, which when then we would say there were 28 strands there, rather we learn it out from either the pareches or the avnet that we saw before, that have 24 strands. Ravashi Omar. Ravashi says, I'll give you another reason why we cannot learn the Rimoinim from the Choshen Ve'Ephod. Because how many strings were there in the Rimoinim? How many different types of strings? We said there were three different types of strings. Now, if you have 24 strands altogether, each string will be spun of 8 threads. But if you have 28 strands altogether, were we to learn it from the Choshen Ve'Ephod, how is that 28 going to be divisible by 3? You have 3 different types of wool, and between them there's got to be 28 strands, were you to learn it from the Choshen Ve'Ephod. And how's that going to work? Because the Pasuk says, V'asisa al shulav rimoine tcheles v'argomen v'tolaz shani, that there were, what do we learn out from the word V'asisa? We learn, V'asisa k'siv, she'yu kol asiyois shavis, that all the thread of the tcheles, the argomen, and the tolaz shani should all be similar. If in total there's 28 strands, how are we going to? What's going to be similar between these three? Nevit losa, all three strings, one of Tcheles, Argomon, and Tilas Shoni, are they each going to have 10 strands in them? The Asoro, 10 each. Havalut losin, then there'll be a total of 30 strands, not 28. Nevit trade the Tisha. You're going to say two of those strings are going to have 9 strands each. V'chad, and one of them, the asara, is going to have 10 strands. Omakrov osiso, shiu kol asiyos of shavis. We learn from the word osiso that all the strings have to be similar. And therefore, we cannot possibly learn that the remaining, which only have 3 different types of strings, that they should be have 28 strands, because the 28 are simply not divisible by 3. And therefore, we learn out there's only 24 strands. 24 is divisible by 3. Each of the 3 strings have 8 strands in them. Continues the Gemara, Me'il Shneim Osa. We saw that the total of the threads used in the Me'il was 12. Even though the Me'il only had one type of string, it was only a Tcheles, and nonetheless it was 12 strands. Minolon, where would we learn that from? The Chsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vasisas Me'il Ephod Klil Tcheles. It's made of Tcheles wool. It's Klil. Klil means it's braided. Braidery means it's doubled over. And v'yalif tcheles tcheles mi pareiches, we learn out tcheles tcheles, the me'il to the pareiches, the curtains, that the pareich mala alon, in the same way as the pareiches, that each one of the 4 threads was 6 strands, as we saw before, that everything is, even when it doesn't say sheish, every string has 6 threads. Afkan, so to hear by the me'il, is sheish, is shisha, then each string has got 6 strands, and it's a kolil, means it's braided, means it's doubled over. So it means that it has 12 strands in each string of the tcheles for the me'il. Asks the Gemara, v'neilav mishulav v'rimoinov. Why don't you learn the me'il from the rimoinim, from the pomegranates, the woolen pomegranates tied to the end of the me'il, the mala alon, in the same way as those pomegranates, every string was shmoina, was 8 strands, as we just learned. Afkan, so too, the me'il itself is shmoina. And then you would have 8 strands doubled over. It would be a total of 16 strands, not 12. Answers the Gemara, donin kli mi kli. We'd rather learn a kli, a beged. The me'il is called a kli. The pareches is a kli. You learn a kli from a kli. Vein donin kli. You would not learn the me'il from a tachshit, from an ornament, namely the pomegranates. Mitachshit kli, which is just ornating the kli. Asks the Gemara, Adarabba, on the contrary, Donin Gufoy Migufoy, I'd rather learn the Me'il from the pomegranate tied to the end of the Me'il, because it's the same garment. Ve'in Donin Gufoy, and rather than learn the Me'il, which is a garment, Me'alma, from elsewhere, namely the Pareches. Says the Gemara, we don't learn out, not from the Me'il, and not from the Pareches, we don't need that. Simply, Hainu dom rinon l'shar begodim shlo neimar b'hen sheish, as we saw before, that any time where it doesn't say explicitly otherwise, then every thread we take for granted, there were six strands in them. We don't even need to learn it out from, we don't learn out from that, from tcheles tcheles on the pareches, it's not necessary. In the same way as the pareches itself, we knew that there were six, because everywhere, all threads had six strands, so too, the Me'il, each thread had six strands. There was only one type of thread there, which was the Tcheles. It was doubled over because it was Kolil, and therefore it's 12 strands. Continues the Gemara. Pareches Esrim V'Arba, how do you know that the Pareches had 24 strands in total? Says the Gemara, Dalad Deshita Shita. There's four different types of strings that are mentioned in the Pasuk. Each one had six strands, as we saw before, that everything has, all the strings there had six strands. Loidin of Loidaina. There was nothing to discuss. We didn't need to ask any questions. It's simple and straightforward. Lastly, says the Gemara, Choshen ve'efoid esrim ushmoina minolon. Where do you know that the threads, the strings used for the Choshen ve'efoid had 28 strands in them? Says the Gemara, Dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vasiso Choshen Mishpot, Maise Choshev k'maise efoid ta'asenu, Zohov, there was gold in it, Tcheles, one type of wool, Vargomon, another type of wool, Vetelas, Shoni, another type of wool, Vashesh, and linen, Mojzor Tase. So you see there that there were four different woolen strings, or four material strings. There was the linen and three types of wool, and there was Zohov in it. So Arba, the four types, that means the Tcheles, Argomon, Tolas, Shoni, and Sheish Mojzor, there are regular strings that we assume, as we've said till now, every string has six strands. Is Arba, four of them, is the Shita Shita at six strands in each? That's the total of Esrim V'Arba. Zohov, when the Pasuk adds in Zohov, then the Zohov was, Arba was four strands, not six strands. Asks the Gemara, Ho Esrim Utmanya, Ho Esrim Utmanya. So altogether, there's 28. Asks the Gemara, Ve'eim Zohov Nami Shisha, why don't you say, in the same way as all the other strings were made of six strands each, maybe the gold also had six strands in it, of it, and then there's a total of 30 strands in the Choshen Ve'efoid, not 28. Omer Vecha Bayakiv Omakrot. There's a Pasuk that seems to say clearly that the gold only had four strands. What does it say in the Pasuk? Ve'yiraku es pachei hazov, that they would bang very thin plate of gold, the kitzates, and they would cut psilim, threads. They would cut the threads. Lasos b'seicha tcheles, b'seicha argomon, b'seicha tilas hashoni, b'seicha sheish ma'aseh choshev. They would cut these very thin plates of gold. They would cut psilim, there's two psilim, and they would cut each one of those psilim into two, altogether four, and they would put them into besoich, into the other four types of strings, into the tcheles, into the argomon, into the telas shani, and into the sheish. It's an explicit pasuk. So what do we see from there? That we could say it's psilim, that psil would be one, psilim is two. The kid says means he cut it. He cut each of the two pieces, thin pieces of gold. He cut them again to make them very thin. So you have altogether four strands. Harei kan dalad, there's four altogether. Ravashi Omar. Ravashi says, Omar Kro. Ravashi brings from the rest of the Pasuk that we just read, Lasa is Baseicha Techeles, Baseicha Argomon, Baseicha Telas Hashoni, Baseicha Sheish, that you would put the gold into the spun into the other threads. Heichan Navid. So what would they do? Navid Arba. What should they do? Are you going to say that Nevid Arba, they would make four, they would have four threads of gold, that each one would deteriorate, each one had two strands of gold, and those are the ones that would be woven and spun into the other threads? Havalu Tamanya. Then we would have altogether eight strands of gold. If you have eight strands of gold, you're going to have more than your 28 strands altogether. Navid Trey. The Trey. Trey. Are you going to say that you'll have two threads of gold that have two strands each? Or Trey and two threads of gold, the Chad Chad with one strand of gold each, and then altogether you'll have six strands of gold? That won't do either, because it says Valsisa. That to say that they're all going to be equal, you'll have eight strands. To say that the six, like all the other threads, were made of six strands, say gold also the six strands, there's no way that you can split out, because the pasuk tells us that you have to put the four threads of gold into the others. That means there were only four threads of gold. How are you going to get six strands of gold into four threads? So the only way you can do that is to have two threads of being two each and two being one each. Then it's contrary to what we said before, Sheyu Kol Asiyos of Shavuos, that all the strings have to be similar. And since they all have to be similar, and they have to be put into each of the other strings, and therefore it must be there was only four strands of gold. So if you have four strands of gold plus the six strands of each of the four types of materials used in the Cheshen Ve'Ephod, you have a total of 28, as we saw before. And Emir Tzashem, in the next year, we're going to continue from here.